This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the podcast. I'm Robbie. I'll be your host for the day. ABB is out on vacation, so we wish him the happiest of vacation. Big fans here, once again, of making sure that when you're on vacation, be on vacation, you know, live your life, do your thing, work, we'll take care of it. And I'll especially give you the warning because 2 weeks from now, I'll be on vacation. I'll be with my lovely wife out in San Diego. So very, very excited for that, to see West Coast. I'm going to be out there playing some golf. So excited to see what kind of disc golf courses y'all have out there. I know Morley's on the list, but for our listeners, what are some San Diego area courses that you feel like are worth getting to, going out and exploring? So would love to know your thoughts there. But today we got a special episode. We want to say thank you, as always, to the amazing listeners for y'all making this possible, y'all making this just a thing in general. One thing that I want to share as before we dive into the podcast is, so today's guest ended up from a, I kind of put out a blurb with my Instagram asking folks, hey, it's been a minute since we've had a mid-range episode, people focusing on mid-ranges. So I would love to know, or I have a guest who needs a mid-range focus. And honestly, y'all as listeners, you responded in such a great way. I got a lot of emails with great applications of folks looking to come in. And so I'm thinking about sort of reworking our application process to sort of sort people into 8 categories, is probably the best way to put it. And so those categories are putters, mids, distance, driver, fairways, drivers. But on both sides, it is, do you feel like you have a hole in those areas, or do you feel like you have do you feel like you have too much overlap in those areas? And so what's the greater or the greatest need in your bag? Someone suggested asking the question, what can we do to help on the front end? So I know y'all were over 100 episodes in, and y'all are an amazing audience. And so hopefully, as you've gone down this journey with us, you've been modifying your bag, making adjustments along the way. And we don't want to have a world where it's like, oh, we bring you on the podcast, and unfortunately, we just really can't help you that much, because you guys have already kind of taken some wisdom to heart and applied it to your bag. So really, really excited to kind of revamp that application process. So I'm hoping that we sort of dialed it in. We've changed it quite a few times, and I know that can be frustrating for some of you who have applied every time. And I'm so sorry that we've had you fill out a form a multitude of times. Hopefully with Disc RPM, like, you're just sharing that link, so you don't have to put all your stuff in again, things like that. But just very, very grateful for y'all and your willingness to be on the show, because if you weren't willing to come on the show, then it'd just be ABB and I, or weeks like this week where it'd just be me rambling for you. So as a preview, we have an incredible guest lined up for next week. We have a Pro Tour guest coming on who has never been on our show before. And he's going through a pretty unique journey in his bag right now. And I thought, hey, this would be really fun to bring you in and discuss what's going on and what all you're thinking and processing. So look forward to that. It's going to be an incredible episode. And the following week, I'm going to try. Y'all let us know in the comments, would you like me to try to get a normal guest for Brad, Brad and maybe someone else to host? Or would you rather have an episode where Brad does something special with one of the guys or whatever it may be? So y'all let us know what you want that off week where I'm not there to be. And looking forward to it because you already feel in this episode, because ABB wasn't here, the trying out the disc is going to be a little different. So I'm excited to see how that shakes out and see what you guys think about it. So let's go ahead and bring in our guests. I've rambled enough and let's talk to Chris. Welcome in to In the Bag. Chris, how you doing today, sir?
I am doing fantastic.
Dude, come on. Welcome in. For our visual watchers, you'll see birds of a feather, Chris Gamer behind you, and not in the traditional, when we think gamer, you could go to video games. I'm sure that is true, but also board game collection. So Jason, when you're listening, you have to come back and check the YouTube video out because it's lots of options there. Well, Chris, we want our people to get to know you and not just your board game collection. So excited to have you here. How long have you been playing disc golf?
It's been about 2.5 years. Started like a little later in COVID than everyone else. And I played, I think it was the end of 2021, maybe. I'm kind of losing track as time goes on. But yeah, about that long.
Okay, awesome. So we take you, we put you out in the field. I also love... I've said it before when we have guests on, like, it's cool to me that the common answer when you met people for a long time was, oh, when did you start playing? I started playing during COVID. It's cool to me that we're seeing, we've been far enough away from that event that we're starting to see like residual effects of, okay, yeah, no, I didn't join during COVID. I joined kind of after COVID or in the later part of it, things like that. So really, really exciting. Chris, we put you in a field. We're going to put a basket X amount of feet away from you, flat, open field. How far do you feel you can consistently reach that basket, forehand and backhand?
Backhand, I would say on a good day at this point, I'm getting like 350, 360.
Okay.
If it was just like a normal line, maybe I'd be like 330 comfortable.
Okay.
And then forehand, it's not too great. I'm getting better, trying to get some power. So just anywhere between 2 to 250, probably. And if I really try, I've never really forehanded a distance driver except for like once or twice, but that's usually my felon's job. So I'm safe in that like range.
Okay. Yeah, that's, I like those numbers. I like those numbers a lot. A 250 foot forehand is not only like serviceable, I would say for lots of folks, a 250 foot forehand is pretty great. I feel like very rarely are you going to find casual players that have 300 on both sides.
Oh yeah.
So that's pretty awesome. Chris, I was going to bring this up in today's episode regardless. So Innova just put out this like survey, to, their fans, I guess is a better way to put it. And they asked their followers or something. They put out like this stats survey, how long have you been playing, things like that. And on the distance question, forehand or backhand, they said, do you throw more forehand or backhand? 24% of the the survey said both, 61% said backhand. So makes sense. But here's the one that got me the most. What's your max distance on flat ground? And 24% of the people answering said 350 to 400.
What percentage was that?
24% of the survey said 350 to 400. How do you feel about that answer?
The survey? Yeah, that's, I thought it'd be more.
You thought it'd be higher than that. Okay, that's fascinating. For the 350 to 4, because I'll tell you some of the other numbers as well. Because,
okay.
So the largest population was 300 to 350 at 26%.
Yep.
And then 400 to 450 was 12%. Mm-hmm. So literal half. And then over 450 was 6.7. 200 to 250, and lower was like 28%. So I personally think I was on the side of like, I play with a lot of disc golfers and I don't think that many people, but I guess it is phrased, what's your max distance? So not consistent distance.
True. Yep.
So
yeah, I just figured like more people would on flat ground be able to, or just think that they would be able to get at least 350. So that was just my thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a similar world of like, if I ask people, oh, how far, like what's your comfort circle? Where do you think you can make 85 to 90% of your putts? The most stock answer is 20 feet. And then if I put you at 20 feet, I'm like, all right, go ahead and just make 10.
Oh, scary.
Like, well, there's so much pressure. That's kind of the point. So, speaking of which, we put you on the putting green here, Chris, and we said, all right, I'm going to give you 10 putts from 15 feet, 10 putts from 25, 10 putts from 40 feet. How many do you feel like you're making at each station?
Honestly, the first one was 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably where it's maybe like 8 to 9 out of 10.
Okay.
And then after that, it just gets super squirrely. It just really depends on the day. Like the next station, what was it? 20, 25?
25. Yeah.
25. Yeah. That's man, just like if it was just a random day of the week, I would just say like maybe 5 or 6 out of 10. And then after that, it's a hope and a prayer. But you know, we all have those days where it just feels magical. So like, true. Hey, I'm just spin putting like a champ today, so I have the confidence. But yeah, usually no.
Yeah. We had a friend, Dylan, who we played around, and I mean that man, if he could see the basket, it was in. And we were like, What how are we supposed to beat this? Like that's insane. And then the next round, it wasn't even the next day, the next round, if he couldn't touch the basket, it wasn't going in. So
I feel that
magic in my soul. So final question, Chris, before we dive into the bag, is what would you say is the biggest strength of your game?
Honestly, I would just say hitting lines off the tee. You know, I live in Charlotte, so I was trained to do that. Yeah. It's in my blood. So just like, and honestly, just like throwing full power, like straight lines, you know what I mean? That's just how I learned to be accurate, and learning the whole touch putter game is starting to become more something I'm trying to focus on. But yeah, definitely hitting lines off the tee and just getting off the tee clean. And I would say that's definitely my strength.
Okay. Yeah, Charlotte golf is no joke. Like I just watching the scrambles that y'all have to pull off there is wild. So, and y'all have some long courses. Like it's not all short stuff, like short technical, like Beastway is long. So
it's longer than people think. But also the lines are just so much tight. Like I went back there recently. I haven't played there for a while. I've been playing up in Winston-Salem a lot.
Okay.
And because I have a good group of friends up there. And I went back to Beastway. I was like, what is this? I forgot about this. So it's like, you know, it's got, they took some trees down. But yeah, we're getting there.
That's awesome. So looking at your bag here, Chris, we're going to talk mid ranges today, which especially knowing Charlotte golf, I can see how one of the areas you identified kind of important for especially some of these shorter shots, things like that. So we're going to talk mid ranges, but for listeners, what we're going to do is we're going to start drivers and kind of work our way down. We'll hop mids, go to putters for a little bit and come back. So with ABB not being here, one of the things that we're going to do is I have a couple discs that I think are going to fill this slot. And I'll kind of talk about the discs and what I think they can accomplish, see if Chris has tried these discs, things like that, and we can adjust it just on the fly. We're still going to get some discs in the mail and send them off, for you to try out, Chris, and hopefully they end up working. They just haven't been field tested just yet. So,
okay.
You'll be the first one to get to hit things with them, instead of, us possibly throwing them through the window of a car. It'll be a good time. So let's talk drivers. You've got, would you consider your era distance or would you put it with your fairways?
Honestly, like I would say fairway. It's just pure control. Like I have a little tiered system going on.
Okay.
And yeah, I would just, I would say that's my comfortable 300 300 to 320 discs, so.
Okay.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the era.
Okay. So, let's talk about the Grace and the Scorpius side by side, and what are kind of the differences between those two for you?
So the Grace is much more like flip up the flat and maybe get some turn out of it. My stock shot is pretty much a variable amount of hyzer depending on how I'm throwing that day. And so if I throw it really hard, the Grace will stand up and turn, and it doesn't really fight the headwind at all. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the disc I'm working with in that slot right now. It's kind of interchangeable. I'm trying to find that sweet spot for that one. But my Scorpius, it's like the equivalent to Star Plastic. So usually I have a standard Scorpius, which beats in way faster and comes out with a little more turn. But I think I ended up getting this one by accident at some point. So it's much more of a headwind disc for me, or big flex lines.
Okay. Awesome. So, all right. So I'm excited with hearing that about your Grace. I like that flight. So where's the Mamba?
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Fit into this, because you have a note on there that is intriguing. So tell us about the note, and what does this Mamba do for you?
Yeah, so basically it's a roller disc. So I put vroom and a little asterisk tire screeching. So it do be rolling fast. So we got essentially I got it because I've been struggling with that like understable distance slot. So I actually got this during the, another spin, from another round here in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what, let me throw this thing in and see how it works. And it is very understable. I didn't even think it'd be that understable, but, basically big tailwind bomber roller, big, huge turnovers, you know, if I'm out in the open. But as far as the woods, I doubt I'll ever throw it.
Yeah. That makes sense. So is it Halo Star?
It's just Star.
Or is it just swirly?
Yeah. But it is very swirly, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because I know that the Halo Mambas actually fly much closer to like an 11 to 6 minus 3 one. So if you like that, and like I definitely might check out a Halo Star. I don't know why I emphasize the star so much there, but I would check one of those out because it might be, since your Grace is that really reliable flight, if it takes a while for that to season in. I know the first run Graces seasoned in stupid fast. Like they got so flipped. I will never forget, got a first run Grace. It's a blue first run Grace. I played a round with it, which means I'm not even throwing it on every tee box. Played a round with it. The next time I came out, I threw one, no wind, and I just watched that thing go shoo, stand up and turn the entire flight. And I was like, what? And then I threw an orange one from the first run, and it flew like a rive the entire time. So whenever I see a blue Grace, I always get a little terror in my heart to hear how it's flying for people. But yeah, that Halo Mamba could be a nice alternative. So is really the difference between the era and the Grace just raw distance kind of a deal?
Yeah. My air, I tend to throw really flat, like fairway shots that need to go a bit. You know, with the grace, I don't throw it on as much hyzer. But the air, I think I just throw it on enough hyzer to where it just goes very straight and doesn't turn much. Mm. So I never really pull it out when I need a distance shot. I mean, it's possible that they could be fighting with each other a little bit, but I just don't know if the era has the go to like compete with something like the grace, you know?
That's fair. That's fair. They finish line has a driver. I just don't know.
I know they have the interval and the Daytona maybe for like that destroyer esque.
Okay. Yeah. I went to look up finish line and I ended up, on the sneaker website. So that makes sense. No free ads. There it is. Finish line, disc golf. Yeah. The interval for sure. That's what I was thinking.
I have been, because I love finish line. Like I love the Supra. I've been thinking about the pace. I have several arrows as like backups. So
yeah. Well, that sounds like you got an option there waiting for you if you're looking yeah. for it. I'd be curious what that interval compared to the grace. I feel like that mm-hmm. would be similar, but keep the finish line strong. So let's talk Felon and FD3, because on the note for your Felon, it seems like it's not really much of a Felon anymore. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about Felon and FD3, that relationship between the two.
Yeah, so my Felon has been in the bag for quite a while, I would say, since probably like at least a year. I got it at the championships at Nevin about okay. like a year and a half ago, whatever that was. The one in 2023 or 2022, who knows at this point. Yeah. But yeah, it's been in there a while, but it flies way more like a Thunderbird. So, you know, I had to figure something out. So I got this new FD3. And from what people have said about the FD3, I expected it to be a little straighter, but I think it's that like level of stability that maybe I just have to keep putting new discs in the bag, you know, for that really overstable like Firebird slot.
Yeah.
But right now it's working for that slot, much more stable.
Okay. Yeah. So I think for me, because this is definitely, it's a very intriguing question. Of do I have to put new discs in, things like that. So I tried the first runs. I'm a Felon lover myself. Back in the day, I didn't like, I had an FT3 that showed up in my life. It was an Intima made FT3. And I did not realize like what the numbers and all that were. And someone told me like, oh, this FT3 is supposed to be straight. Like you said, like that straight, little bit of fade, things like that. I had a C-line FD3. It was purple. I dyed Gengar, like all three stages of the evolution on it. I was right. so proud of it. It was sick. And I stepped up to a hole that was 300 feet straight, death on the left. And I was like, okay, cool. This is a straight disc. I'm just going to throw it. Here we go. Like I dyed it before I had even thrown it. Step up and I rip it and that thing just fades the whole flight. Like it was moving left out of my hand.
Yeah.
And so I only threw it once. Like I remember seeing it. I remember throwing it. Bye bye, Miss American Pie. So as a Felon lover, I love this Lucid Orbit Moonshine Felon runs.
Okay.
Gotten really used to them. I try one of in a video that I put out this week. However, I showcased that Felon seasoning in a little bit, kind of what you're talking about with your Fusion Orbit, where if you really hit it hard with some flat, it's going to move left.
Okay.
Still going to fade, but not Felon fade type deal, which can be unreliable for that slot. So I tried to put a Saki Bomb Supreme one in, and I just couldn't, like, I don't know what it was, but like the plastic and I just weren't jiving. So I went and grabbed another Lucid Orbit Moonshine. So I think the nice thing about the Felon is there's a lot of plastics there. But if you're looking for one that's going to hold that overstable, I'm not sure, and the comments can help correct this, but I'm just not sure that any of the Star S-Line, right. Fusion, any of that is ever going to hold it as long as we want it to.
Yep. I have heard the Lucid, was it the Lucid X? Felons are supposed to be nice and beefy, but like, I don't know if they're just not making them or I haven't seen them, but every time I see one, someone's selling it for like a pretty penny. So
yeah, the Lucid X Orbit Chameleons, or not Orbit, the Lucid X Chameleon ones. It's this like specific run, Eric Oakley stamp, which I'll already let you know how long it's been since we've had them.
Yeah.
But Dynamic has that like chameleon plastic that's either blue, purple, or pink. And it's like that shimmery. So it's in that plastic. It says Oakley, Felon. Like, you'll see them. They're baby tilts.
Yeah. Kind of like a cap wrap type deal.
I think if you put in a cap wrap side by side, it would be close on which one's more over. It depends on the run of the cap wrap, but like the OG cap wraps that were... That Z,
just the regular Z,
yeah,
yep,
very, very similar to those.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, I can understand as someone who only owns one, it's like I have other discs that I could slot in if I need that. That beef, the Avalanche, yep. By DGA, great alternative if you want some beef with it. And this year, Andrew Marweed's tour series this year is the Avalanche. I didn't know that Andrew Marweed helped them develop that disc.
Really?
So,
I love Marweed, Cookie Monster, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So when he had the Avalanche come out, the first runs are ridiculously overstable. But his tour series this year is the Avalanche. And they're actually significantly straighter. So
okay.
If you're really looking to like mix things up, right. Grabbing one of each.
Okay. Yeah, I do have an Avalanche, but it is super beef. Like the flattest disc I own. And like took it out of the bag. I was like, I just can't with this thing. I'm gonna hurt myself.
Yep. And that would probably a first round, I'm guessing. It has like the stamps, like the cool, like almost terrain looking one.
Yep.
Yeah. So I definitely, if you can find someone that has this year's tour series to mess around with, it's going to fly. They are significantly straighter.
Nice.
I did a video with them and I tried to showcase like, oh, this thing you can flex. Look at this. And I like pulled it on a flex and it just kept moving. I was like, it's going to come out.
Yeah, sure.
You're going to come out, buddy. Do it. So keeping the DGA vibe going, you've got a pipeline in the bag. Anyone who has thrown a pipeline will tell you wonders of it usually. So does that continue here for you? Let's talk about the pipeline and the passion side by side.
Okay. Yeah. The pipeline is, I've been searching for like that T-Bird slot, for whatever reason, the T-Bird just doesn't feel super comfortable to me. Like the rim's kind of thick and maybe sharp. I'm not sure. I can't really remember, but I'm much more of a shallow disc kind of guy. And I feel like the pipeline kind of fulfills that for me. But yeah, just like super straight, has that little fade at the end, you know, that sweet spot distance where I can do 300 and then it's going to fade, or 280 and then it's going to fade depending. So yeah, that's the slot I've been trying to fill. I tried an FD1. It was pretty stable, the Skywalker one.
Yeah.
So recently I put this back in the bag and I've been loving it. Like, you know, you can do like baby flex lines and it'll come back. Like, I just think it's that perfect stability. So yeah, I'm definitely on the pipeline bandwagon for sure. And then the passion, honestly, that's the tier system I was talking about. I feel like it's just a slower era. Like, okay. Flips up, goes straight. If I really power up on it, it's going to get some turn. And basically, I just have that slot going down all the way to the proxy. So yeah, the passion is just one of those discs where when I hold it and I'm getting ready to throw it, like I just already know what it's going to do, especially when the fairway is like down here in Charlotte. Like, it's going to flip up, push really far, and then just do a little dump at the end.
That's, you got to love a disc that you have that level of comfort with, right? Like where that feeling you've described, I'd be willing to bet there are a lot of people out there in disc golf who don't have a disc in their bag that they feel that way about. And it probably makes disc golf terrifying when you step up to certain holes because you're like, this hole looks horrific. What am I supposed to do? And to be able to have that comfort with a disc, that's awesome. Another thing I really appreciate, Chris, about your bag is like, I feel like we are in a generation of disc golfers where there is some loyalty to brands kind of shining to where it's like, oh, okay. So you seem to like Latitude. So your whole bag is basically Latitude, things like that. Mm-hmm. And not that that's a bad thing by any means, because I think for most people that I know do that, they do it because they either love a company or they like that consistent hand feel of the plastic. So I totally with you, like the folks that do that here. I just looking at your bag, I love that there's almost no duplicates. It feels like across any manufacturers.
Yeah. Like once you get down to the mid ranges, like it's all MVP made, but like other than that, I try to have a good mix. And, you know, honestly, I will say that if every disc could be in like Fusion Orbit, I'd probably take it just because that is like the best plastic in my opinion, especially for drivers. I don't think I've ever tried any mid ranges. With that plastic, but man, like I'm just talking like the grip level and the comfort level and just like, I've never held a bad one. But yeah, I just love plastic and trying different companies. Recently I just got I'm building an all black bag as well. And I got some black putters from EV7 and I don't know who makes them, like who's the manufacturer. Yeah. It feels like some kind of eraser blend from Gateway or something.
Yeah.
But there's so much to discover. You know what I mean?
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I love the game with the smaller manufacturers of like, okay, who's making this?
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are y'all shipping to Yikun? Is this it's a blast. And especially with someone who's developed a lot more relationship with Gateway over the past year, the possibilities that Dave can pull off with plastic, unrivaled. I will say it. I think Dave is willing to try stuff out on plastic that no one else is like willing to commit a run to. His poor injection machines have to be just put through the ringer of like, hey, yeah, this isn't going to break it. Let's send it. So speaking of that Fusion Orbit, Gold Orbit, same plastic, you've got a river and a cicada in there. On first glance, those could feel to be very, very similar, but I'm sure they do different things for you.
Yeah. I was going to say like right here, like the passion is almost the same number. Then you got the rivers and the cicada. But the river is much more of like an open bomber disc for me. I just love throwing like huge turnovers with it if I'm ever in an open field, just because of that dome. The cicada is much more flat, and with a flat disc, I'm very comfortable throwing the hyzer flip like through the woods, or even, if I'm trying to push around a corner and it needs to flip up and go, I'm definitely using the cicada. But yeah, they're all in that similar slot. It's just the comfort level, you know, the cicada is kind of a newer addition, because before I was probably just using the passion for that. Yeah. But the cicada is definitely flippier, though. There's this one hole at Kilbourne that just goes straight, and then you have to like turn around a couple of trees and then come back. I always throw the passion there because that's what it does. And I also threw the cicada and it just flipped over into a tree. So definitely a different stability there, but I haven't like changed any of the numbers on the Disc RPM app.
Yeah. So I like that in your description of the passion, maybe some turn depending on how hard you throw it. I think this is something that a lot of folks who are getting into throwing faster discs or that haven't really messed around with their speed or power control. It's just, I have one level that I throw discs and that is hard. Like I'm just going to grab that disc and I'm just going to rip it every time. And then suddenly when they throw a disc soft for the first time you grab that, the first time you grab that FD3 and you throw it soft and you watch, man, this thing already fades on its own, but I can get some like really slow movement out of it on like a 100-foot shot. Your eyes kind of open to the beauty of it all. So you like, I love that you just made this comparison of the Cicada and the Passion. They seem like they would do really similar things, but for the Passion to achieve that turn, you kind of got to throw it harder. It sounds right. Like, so are there times where, let's say you come up to a tighter tunnel or something and it's like, oh, instead of having to yam on this Passion to get the flight, is that where the Cicada is starting to really shine?
Yeah, I would say, holes about 250 to 280. That's where like, I'm trying to throw the Cicada like to where it has the flight of the Passion because it's not going to, and if it kicks, it's not going to get kick harder, right? It's not going to like totally destroy me. So I could throw the Passion on those holes. But I will also say the Passion is much more flat. I don't know if that leads to less glide or whatever, but if I need more of a glidey shot, the Cicada is also probably coming out. But yeah, honestly, maybe the era goes farther than I was thinking because the Passion I usually use from like 280 to 300. So the era might be more in that 320 range, honestly.
Yeah. Hi. That it's another beautiful part of bringing people on for this show, Chris, is as you talk about your bag, cause it's probably pretty rarely, unless you just want to annoy it like annoy a significant other or something like that of, all right, so babe, I need to really just kind of work through my, my fairways for a little bit. So can you just listen for a little bit? My wife, unfortunately,
she would hate that.
Yeah, my wife unfortunately has to hear a lot of like those conversations, and she'll hear I'll do a virtual lesson, and she's just chilling on the couch over there. She's like, "Have they thought about doing this?" I'm like, "Babe, I love that you've heard so many of my lessons that you know some different suggestions as well. It's really cool."
She's like, "It's so simple."
Yeah, it's for her. It is simple. You throw a sapphire or you throw a pure. That's it. Why do we bag anything else?
Sounds like a great time.
Yeah. She has a dirty forehand. Like she forehands a sapphire like 250 without even blinking. It is so impressive. Okay. So I love that. I love the setup that you've got up top. I'd be willing to bet long term that as that Passion continues to season in, or the Cicada season's in, I could see one or the other pushing one out to put a brand new one of those molds in, because of your top end, that really does seem to be the most quote confusing side of things.
I would love that. That's definitely the goal, is to just like not necessarily mold minimalize my entire bag, but maybe like, hey, eventually I have a stable Felon and my beat in Felon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's about as far as I'm willing to go, probably on most things, like a stable one and a beat in one, you know?
Totally. Yeah. Cause there's a comfort level, right? To, especially if you season in a disc to get to that point, like it'd be one thing if you went to the used section, and you were like, oh, here's a seasoned Felon. Okay. Let me grab it. But like, because it's still newer to your bag, you don't have the reps and the time with it to really show it getting to that point. Whereas like, I just put this Eagle back in my bag that I'm the one that seasoned it from being an Eagle to it now hyzer flips and turns. And it's like, oh yeah, I know how far I can push that on its breaking point because I'm the one that broke it. So I do like that. I can get super excited about the mold minimalization side of things, but I understand that there is a funness to, especially I'll tell you, y'all, like it's really hard when you are really deep in the trenches of mold minimalization. it gets hard to try out any new discs because you feel like if I let this in, it's going to affect all the other ones and it's going to put this like wrench in the system. So that can be really tough. Let's talk putters because new manufacturer alert, you got Prodigy in there. So you have a gorgeous looking A2, very gorgeous looking A2. How's that fly for you?
Honestly, I got it to replace my zone. But this thing is beef. Like if you've ever, have you thrown an A2?
Oh yeah.
Dude, the rim is like way sharper than the zone. I don't know what they're doing. Like the zone is a 4-speed, right? And yeah. This says it's a 3-speed. So I don't know what's going on, but they definitely went their own way with this thing. But it's, this thing is awesome. It's even got a little bit of dome to it. It kind of, like if it didn't, it's one of those discs where you throw it harder and it dumps harder, kind of like the Zone OS.
Yeah.
For me, at least. So if it didn't do that, it would probably be more up in the mid-range category just because of how fast the rim feels. But yeah, this thing is awesome. I think that's the zone I was actually looking for because I tried, you know, I was a big Get Freaky guy for a long time and you throw them hard and they just go so much straighter than you think they're going to.
Yeah.
So this is one where you can really power up on it and it's still going to fade hard.
Yeah. I had not thrown an A2. I threw an A2 before when I was trying to find pigs. Like basically I knew I needed a new overstable approach disc. I tried the A2, the pig and the tactic were my top three front runners. And I knew that. So I came back in an effort of like, I'm going to stick it to Innova. I'm not going to throw pigs anymore. And so I grabbed an A2 to throw it. And I was like, what was I on when thinking like that this and my pigs were similar discs? Like this thing is so overstable. So definitely flies much more personally in that pyro to justice equivalent type deal. So it's really beefy. So looking at the A5 then, I've heard people describe the A5 as a Zone SS. How do you feel about that description?
Yeah, so I got my first A5 and it was in the 400 plastic and I'm like, sweet, a -1/1, right?
Yeah, neutral little flyer.
No, it's just the zone. Honestly, at least it was for me. Zone might be a touch more stable, but honestly, like, so I was like, you know what? This is a great feeling disc, great flying disc. I was like, I don't do much base plastic and I want to kind of get into it. So I got this, I think it's a 300 plastic, A5, the preserve stamp.
Yeah.
And I've just been trying to beat this in to be like a really straight zone. And it's been great. It's just basically a putter that you can throw close to full power and it kind of just holds, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's definitely feeling more of the zone slot than the A2, I would say.
That's Chris, I'm not going to lie to you. You may have just brought a revelation to me personally. In that, because I was talking with a friend about the, about Precious Child in my bag. And I was like, yeah, if you can grab an overstable disc and find it in base plastic, like it's going to be such a great flyer for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just completely spaced on the A5, because the A5 in base plastic sounds like a gem. So,
you know, they've been coming out with the A2 and that, they're like, speckled plastic. Is it like Spectrum something? Maybe. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Like 300 but Spectrum or something.
It's that plastic is crazy good looking. Like
Fractal.
Yep, there it is. Fractal. Yeah. I bet an A2 and that would go crazy too.
That's Chris. You're cooking. I like it. I like it a lot. So with you trying to beat in this A5 to be a more straight disc, where does the proxy fit into that? And then is your Rocha thrower as well? Like, are your putting putters not on here? I guess it's a better question.
They're not.
Okay.
So the proxy, I got it. It's a soft proxy. I got it when Simon you know, sign with MVP, and I was trying to get more into throwing putters. And so I got this thing, and I'm like, wow, this is the greatest disc of all time. Like, this thing goes so far and so straight. And then over time, maybe I just forgot to throw it on hyzer, but I was like, what is this disc? I was like, this thing sucks. But as I've like rediscovered it, you know, I think we might all do the same thing. Like, we throw a disc, it's really good, and then it just stops working for us.
Yep.
And like, honestly, I think I was just throwing it wrong. Because now if I throw it on a little hyzer, this thing just goes so far, so straight, just like it once did. So I'm loving it. And the Roach is a new addition to the bag. Basically, I just wanted a really floaty putter that could also like turn over easier. So that's where it comes into play.
Okay. Yeah. So do you feel like the roles are pretty defined between the Roach, the A5, and the Proxy right now? It sounds like the A5 almost is even like, it's the go-to. It's just.
Yep.
The others are there to help.
Especially if I don't need something to glide and go further. Like, I'm doing the A5, like anywhere from 150 to 200, it's great. But if I need to get a little more glide out of it, or maybe even a little turn, I'll go with the Proxy. And then the Roach is really like, I'm just experimenting with it right now. It's much more glidey and floaty than, say, like the Proxy would be. So yeah, I don't know where it's going to fit in, but I did want to try another putter just to, you know, compare with the Proxy.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, let's jump to mids, because that's, you know, the talk of the town. So let's start with the Pyro, because I feel like the Pyro is kind of in its own world here. Talk to me about the Pyro, and then I would love to hear how the A2 complements the Pyro.
Yeah, so the Pyro, really, in theory, it's going to do about the same thing as the A2 at this point, but my goal is to beat it up so it pushes straight a little further and then fades. Because right now it's fairly new.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger. For the ones who get it done.
And I did have a deflector in the bag, which is basically his own OS.
Yeah.
And it was the soft Proton one too from OTB. So that thing was literally like the most stable disc I've ever thrown. So with the A2 being as beefy as it is, I kind of kicked that out just a bit. And so the Pyro for now is my overstable mid. But yeah, the goal is to beat it up just a little bit so it and the A2 aren't... The A2 definitely doesn't go as far, I will say. Pyro does push further. And, but yeah, I want to beat it up a little bit so they're not, like, competing as much.
That's fair. Yeah. The Pyro is a sneaky disc. I think, like, for people who don't love the Justice or don't love something in that realm, the Quake, because I think the Pyro is more overstable than the Quake.
Oh yeah.
But if you're looking for something in that overstable slot and you've not tried a Pyro out, I think the Pyro is, it used to be sort of slept on. I would say it's moderately acknowledged now. But for some reason, if you're not a gyro guy, the Pyro just is not listed in those slots. So definitely check it out. So let's talk about the Hex. What's the Hex do for you?
So the Hex is that next step down from the Passion. Basically it just flips up and goes straight. It honestly goes so far, like it's pushing that Passion range for sure. But it does not turn as much as the Passion. Like, I've had this Hex in my bag for like a year and a half now, and it really hasn't got that much more understable. I've had people, maybe they have Fission Hexes or something, who are like, oh, this thing turns like crazy. But, you know, with my stock, like, hyzer angle type deal, this thing just flips up, goes really far, and it's basically just my dead straight disc. If I had to only have one disc in the bag, that would be it.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. And I actually am talking with, I sent a picture of these three mids, really like a mental picture to a friend who throws a similar distance. And I was like, okay, he's got these three discs. I'm looking at the Detour is probably going to go. And so here I'm trying to find something between these two discs, and I don't have much experience with a Lobster. I've thrown it, but I've never bagged one. So what's the Lobster do for you?
So I believe, let's see, I don't know if this is a first run. It might be, but it's just in the regular Apex plastic. I've heard the Sublime ones might be a little more stable, but this thing is basically a Rolo at this point. Like, it's so flippy. It's so fun. You can throw it on a lot of hyzer, and it's just going to flip up and turn over basically the whole way. And that's what I use it for. If I need to, because I'm not a huge forehand guy. I'm more of a turnover guy.
Yeah.
So that's when it's that mid-range distance, the Lobster comes out usually. And it's just gotten so flippy that I'm trying to, like you said, fit something in between it and the hex.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just, it's in that far right category where it's just, it's getting to that point. Yeah.
Hey, and that's fair. Still fun to have in the bag, still useful to have in the bag, but can get really tricky when you're, oh, I've got a score here. The hex definitely isn't going to do this. I need something. I need an easier to throw hex that isn't going to burn over. So, sounds like the Detour, I think on paper, a lot of people would have been like, this should be it. This sounds great. So what did the Detour do for you or not do for you?
So yeah, like when I tried to throw it like the hex, it was just so much more flippy, like almost to the Lobster extent. Mm. And yeah, like you said, in theory, it should be that perfect stability. But whereas my hex, I feel like is more, almost more like a 0-1, just the way I throw it, the Detour, it really doesn't have the integrity that I would love. Cause you know, in my head, I wanted it to flip up, turn a little, maybe come back. Or if I'm throwing it flat, maybe it just rides the whole way on like some kind of slow turnover line. But you know, it could just be me, but it's just so flippy. I don't know. And it seems like it does something different every time. Mm. Like I said, it's probably just me, but that's where I'm at with it.
Hey, well, conveniently, Chris, even if it is just you, you're just the one throwing it. So it matters. You know, there's a world of, like, I work with people, the Birdie Fam is all about beginners and trying to improve and things like that. And so like we have people that will throw, a great example. I have a friend who listens and I gave him an Ozone to try. And he was like, this is like borderline unusable. Like it's too flippy for me. And then I'm stepping up and I throw farther than him and I'm getting these beautiful flip up and turn flights out of it. And he's like, what am I doing to mess up? Like that disc should work for me. And I'm like, but it doesn't. And that's okay because it's like, it's how they fly for you. That's one of the beautiful parts about this game that we play, I think truly is depending on preferred release angles and things like that. And if that Detour is doing something different every time, it gets a whole lot harder to go to that disc. So, we want to, this is one of those, like, it's a fun, it's why we had the conversation when people apply to come on the show and talk about coming on the show, because like we said at the beginning of the episode, if you looked at it, you may think, oh, this is going to be a fairway episode, but because there's that struggle with the Detour, we tried to find something to slot into that Detour. So I've got a couple options that I want to talk about and see how you feel about them. If you've thrown them before, because if you've thrown them before, then maybe we'll look at another option because once again, how did it go for you? So the first one that comes to mind is the Origin by Dismania. Have you thrown an Origin before?
I have. it's something I still have one. It definitely has crossed my mind to put that back in the bag. It might be a little too flippy, perhaps.
Okay.
Maybe that's just mine, but it also goes really far. Like, dude, the origin goes so far. Like, it, I don't know if I necessarily need just, I, you know, it's a mid range, but some mid ranges are made different. And I think that's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, as someone who had a origin and a hex in my bag at the same time at one point, it honestly made my fairways tough to go to because it was truly like both of these things fly so, so far. Like,
oh, yeah.
What am I supposed to do? Yeah. Okay. So, then we'll move past the origin. Cause I know, that's, you've got one, you're chilling. Yeah. How do you feel about the Svea? Have you thrown the Svea, any castoplast?
Yep. That's one of the discs that are, it's in my all black bag.
Okay.
And that's also one that's like really flippy, for me anyways. In Charlotte at Bradford Park, we have this, I guess hole like 14 or 15 or something. It's a very downhill shot that just fades to the right forever or turns okay. to the right forever. And that is one of the shots that I use the Svea for. I'm not sure. Maybe perhaps I'm looking for just like a different, because maybe in reality, what I'm looking for is not like a negative one type disc.
Yeah.
Who knows? But maybe the Svea is just way flippier than the numbers would suggest.
For sure. For sure.
When we're looking at the hex, it has a negative one, but it's not turning like the Svea.
Yeah. Okay. This is why I'm asking the questions, trying to fill it out, right? Yep. So my next suggestion is the M4 by Prodigy. Have you thrown it?
I haven't, and I gotta say, like, that's top of the list. Like, I would be so excited to try an M4.
Okay. Because the other option that I had was an Element by Gateway.
Never tried that one either.
Okay. So it sounds like M4 and an Element might be it. Just because, yeah, it sounds like you want something that isn't, like you said, isn't a minus one that's naturally going to turn.
Right.
You want to be able to give it a little bit and let it turn.
Yeah, I think so.
So cool. Well, that's the beautiful part about this, guys, is I like this because it kind of, you know, well, we miss ABB being here, but if I would have gone with the initial suggestions, then we're sending two discs to you possibly that you have and here because we can talk about it and shop it out. We got some good ones coming. So we will get an M4 and an Element in the mail for you. And looking forward to hopefully hearing how they fly for you. Would you be willing to come back on and let us know how they fly?
Oh, heck yeah. I appreciate that.
Dude, come on. Well, Chris, we appreciate you. Thank you for coming on. And thanks for a great episode. We'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Another one down. Man, what a great episode. Really enjoyed the chat with Chris. Hope you guys enjoyed that as well. We miss Brad. We are grateful that he'll be back next week. Looking forward to that and looking forward to our special guest next week. This is one we got the details lined up a few weeks ago and have been working on that. So very, very excited for him to join. But of course, Chris isn't the only one that's going to be getting new plastic. We have new stuff coming on the website. And let me tell you, it's vacation week up at Foundation. Lots of folks. Trevor's on vacation this week. Brad's on vacation this week. All the people are on vacation. But the warehouse team is working hard to get some new stuff up on the website for you. And I'm stoked to tell you what all they've got coming up. So as you're hearing this, this drops at 7 o'clock Eastern. So 5 o'clock Eastern, these dropped. You guys are going to want to go check them out. We got Bogey Bro Halo Destroyers. So if you love the beef, you love the hookup, or you're a forehander that, like, you know, you like to yam on those things, put a little Anheuser on it, get some max distance out of those frisbees. Bogey Bro Halo Destroyers. They look sick. They look super cool. The Castoplast Alva. I am going to, honestly, I'm going to look this up because I don't even know what the alva is supposed to be. Let's see. 11.6 minus 2.2. So sounds like an easy to throw distance driver. Swedish for elf. Dances down the fairway with an effortless flight. So the Castaplast alva casta plastic feels so excellent, so incredible. So excited for y'all to be able to test that out and give it a look. So really stoked on that. And then we also have the Electron Entropy. So Entropy, overstable putt and approach disc. We were just talking about this. If you can find an overstable disc in a base plastic and sort of beat it in and season it in. So if you're an Entropy lover, Electron Entropies that are stock and special editions, comes in soft, Electron medium, Electron hard, all the options available to you. So definitely check that out. Really, really pumped for that. The Proton Tesla. Tesla is a phenomenal nine speed that goes so far. One of my farthest flying MVP discs I've ever thrown was like 160 gram Tesla that you may think, oh, with lighter weight, so it's going to be a little flippier. Nope, she was still beautifully stable. It was fantastic. So Proton Tesla, definitely check that out. The Neutron Detour, stock and special. To my knowledge, this is the first stock release of the Detour. Up until this point, the only Detours you could find were Detours that were in the Gyropalooza box with that like squid looking stamp on it. So really awesome that they're coming out with that. Now, the next one is one that people are stoked for. It's the people's time lapse. The Fission time lapse has come out. Now, take it or leave it for Fission plastic. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Some people don't like the hand feel. Some people love the hand feel. One thing Fission plastic does, though, is that it flies beautifully. It allows you to even go lighter weight with it while still maintaining some of the traditional flight characteristics, making it easier to throw. So Fission time lapses, people are saying that these Fission time lapses, if you try to throw a Neutron time lapse, it's just beef. It's fading for you the whole time. But these Fission time lapses, people are getting flip out of them. I know even Foundation Socials, they posted that Hunter threw a Fission time lapse and got that thing to turn all the way over to the point of, hey, if you go to this park, you can find yourself a free Fission time lapse because it flew into a terrible, like, hilly spot. And he was like, it's there. Go look for it. So Fission time lapse, stock and special edition stamps. Really, really cool. Moving over to Trilogy, Saki Bomb Felons, Supreme Burst Felons, and Supreme Orbit Felons. All the felon options out there. So if you are like Chris and you love that Fusion Orbit feel, Supreme Orbit's going to have a very similar vibe, Supreme Burst. So if you love Supreme plastic, this is it for you. A lot of different options out there. If you love that type of plastic, I know Luke over at Swanky says that the Supreme plastic is his favorite feeling plastic in the bag. So definitely check that out. Also, Lucid Ice Orbit Truths. Lucid Ice Orbit Truth. Y'all, this plastic feels immaculate. I love the Lucid Ice Orbit. Kind of that see-through vibe. Really colorful, packed in. So the Truth, straight flying mid. Going to be really awesome for you. And then the VIP Ice Orbit Tursus. They already, y'all, I'm going to tell you a little insider secret. I think some of these are already up on the website because I was searching to see what we had in stock for recommendations. And y'all, these things look incredible. The Tursus slept on mid. If you don't want to throw like Chris does, where you want to throw something somewhat neutral and get the turnout of it yourself, that can be, you're going to need something like we talked about with the M4, with the Element, with even a Hex, right? A J. That's definitely options. But if you want easy turn, the Tursus might be, it's such a good frisbee. If you've been looking for a mid-range that you want to be able to throw super far that you can readily find in a multitude of places, the Tursus is for you because so many people just forget about the Tursus. And then last but certainly not least, Ledgestone Season 3 or Wave 3 of this season. I don't know the words, but it's the third drop of Ledgestone 2024. And y'all, they've got some bangers with some really cool stamps here. I got to believe the Ledgestone, what they're doing is they've got three wheels. They've got a wheel with one type of plastic, a wheel with another type of plastic, and a wheel with a mold. And they just spin the wheels and they see what they land on, because they come up with some crazy cool stuff, some crazy cool stamps. So as the quick rundown, Rubber Blend GT Zone, Jawbreaker Glow Zone, Z Glow Flex Soles, Soles in Incredible Mid, that very similar to the Tursus people are just sleeping on, Fly Dye Nebula, if you like that cross hatching, I know ABB, big Nebula guy for a long time, ESP Swirl, Buzz SS, Jawbreaker Glow Wasp, ESP Swirl Cicadas. If you like that distance, you like things to go far, check out the ESP Swirl Cicada. Fly Flag Dye Z Mantis. Paul Ulibarri's been pushing the Mantis again lately. Great flyer, 8-speed, slept on, lightweight, Z Glow Force, ESP Swirl Venoms. That's got to be beautiful. And Z Swirl Hades. So really, so many options. You're going to get out there, you're going to find a disc that you love, and you're going to say, oh, that's amazing. And you know that if it's good, you keep it in the bag. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.